106.7 Kennet Radio.
We're going to talk now about an extraordinary event which happened in West Berkshire shortly before D-Day in 1944. As an 8-year-old child, Alan Baylis witnessed 3,500 parachutists and hundreds of other soldiers taking part in a secret exercise to prepare for the big day in a farm field in Boxford. I went up to RAF Welford and spoke to Alan.
Just tell us first of all, Alan, how you came to be in this area around the preparations for D-Day.
Well, I was only a kid, 8, coming 9, going to school as a weekly boarder in Newbury, up at Wash Common. I was brought up on my parents' farm at Court Oak, and my father inherited it from his father. My great-grandfather farmed the land as well earlier on than that. And I had a younger brother, Colin. The farm is on the east side of the Welford Air Base, and long, narrow farm north to south, either side of the valley road from Boxford to Leckhamstead. Obviously, I was brought up in the war, and to me, I was quite interested. It was quite exciting by the time I got to about 5 or 6, being always interested in mechanical things, jeeps, Land Rovers, combines or thrashers, and aeroplanes. Aeroplanes were quite a thing to me, and by the time I was about 7 or 8, I was beginning to get to know how to recognise these aeroplanes, the American Dakotas and Super Fortresses and Hurricanes and Spitfires and things like that. So the war was quite exciting from my point of view. I couldn't see the downside of it at all. In fact, I said to my father when the war finished, I said, well, I suppose there's no news now because the war's finished. He said, aye, so we have sport instead. But in the autumn of 1943, father used to see the base commander. I mean, at one time, he came over for supper. And we were relatively close to the air base. We were only one small field away from the boundary fence. And the base commander said to my father, would the field that was nearest to the air base be free of crop in March next year, 1944? And he said, yes, there wouldn't be anything growing there that spring. So in 1944, coming up to the beginning of March, when they wanted it, they hadn't specifically given us a date, I don't think. He said that, he asked father, he said to them, if you'd like to get the boys off from school that day, they will remember something that they'll never forget. Well, we didn't know really what was going to happen. We were meant to be in the hedge, close to where this was going to happen by 1:30 in the afternoon. There was nobody else in the district because this was all top secret. Nobody knew who was going to be coming that day. My father decided it would probably be the King, but of course it wasn't the King. It happened to be Churchill and Eisenhower. We took our position. There was a rostrum with a loudspeaker system all fixed up, and we were about 100 yards on the south side of that. And paratroopers of the American 101st Division marched through from the base and lined up in ranks, ready to be inspected later in the afternoon. Churchill and Eisenhower arrive separately at about 2:30 to 3, and they inspected 3 or 4 Horsa gliders, which were the gliders that were used on D-Day, who were positioned in the next field. And then they did the troops and a display of submachine guns, which were immediately in front of us. So we were pretty close to Churchill and Eisenhower. And both Churchill and Eisenhower took to the rostrum, each made rising speeches of encouragement to the troops. In Eisenhower's speech particularly, a hare ran across in front of him when he was making the speech, and he shouted out, "Tally-ho, a rabbit," he shouted. Well, of course, it wasn't a rabbit, it was a hare. But they don't get hares in America, I suppose. Then we had Dakotas flying north to south with hundreds of parachutes falling out of the sky from these aircraft, and they all landed on the farm. The position of the rostrum in relation to the farm was that there was a, it was a wonderful amphitheatre in front of them between my home at Court Oak Farm and the next farm down, which was also owned by my father at the time, Wyfield. So the parachutists landed all, most, nearly all of them on the farm. Churchill and Eisenhower then took to a jeep and drove all round the farm chatting to the parachutists to come round and giving them encouragement. So that was really the end of the day there. The parachutes were picked up. The jeeps picking them up didn't do a lot of damage to the crops, although they were just coming through because the ground was dry that afternoon. It was quite a cold, cloudy afternoon.
Just to check two things. Number one, how old were you when this happened? And secondly, how many parachutists were there?
I was eight, coming nine in August. So, yeah, memory's obviously very hazy, really. As regards the number of parachutes, I don't know. Seem to be hundreds of them. I mean, a schoolboy of eight or nine doesn't really remember what sort of number there was.
Yeah.
I expect somewhere it's written down how many there were.
Yeah.
And the troops that were lined up, I mean, there was hundreds of that. I think it was somebody said there was 2,000 troops or something lined up that day.
Just remind me, it was you and how many other children were there watching it?
Just my brother, my younger brother Colin, and my mother and father in the hedge.
It's just amazing, isn't it? It's almost difficult to imagine it in the rural Berkshire countryside.
Exactly, because it was rural in those days. We were out in the sticks. We did have a telephone, that was about it, but no electricity in those days. We had to make our own electricity. Yeah. Because it was top secret, it obviously wasn't broadcast, but the thing was there was a lot of filming going on, so it was well filmed and documented. About a month after the event, my father was presented with a copy of the Washington Post by the base commander, and it was a full-page photograph of the parachutes with Churchill and Eisenhower in the foreground. Mm-hmm. And it just said, this is top secret, somewhere in England. We got hold of the film of it later on. The BBC, years afterwards, did a life story of Churchill, and it happened to be to come out on that one evening. And that promoted my interest in going back to thinking about it, really. We then move on until the actual D-Day time on the 6th of June. I was a weekly boarder, as I said before, at this small school in Wash Common, and we were under the flypath from the aircraft taking off from Greenham that morning, and we were woken. There was about four or five of us in this boys in this dormitory, and we were, the noise of these aircraft taking off woke us all up, and we went to the window and had a look out, and there was all these Dakotas taking off from Greenham over the top of us, you see. And what's all this about, you know? Anyway, when we went down to breakfast, our headmaster informed us that we had now invaded France and we got troops on soil in France. That was quite exciting to us, most boys.
The noise must have been terrific.
It was a terrific noise because they were, well, quite low, really, taking off. And there was hundreds of airplanes. Well, it seemed hundreds to us. Probably wasn't as many as 100, I don't know. Full of parachutists.
Yeah.
All these poor men and the numbers that were lost that day is amazing, really.
Yes.
Yeah. One thing to add to those, that evening before, on the 5th, my father had poultry out in the field immediately adjacent to the road from Boxford up to the airbase. And he was out shutting his poultry up at about 9:30 to 10 o'clock that night, because we were on double summertime then, that he saw this convoy coming along the road at the lights, because it was getting just towards evening. And so he stopped and waited a minute or two, and it was Eisenhower, and he was going around all these air bases, and he was coming up to Welford to wish the troops all the best. And apparently he went right round the district and made a big speech at Greenham about it as well.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Alan. That's fantastic. Thank you.
That was Alan Baylis talking about his memories of D-Day experienced as a young child at school in Washcommon, and earlier about witnessing a secret military major exercise in West Berkshire shortly before D-Day in 1944. We're going to talk now to Alan's daughter, Jenny Smith, who has created a circular walk in West Berkshire to commemorate the secret 1944 exercise of the Big Drop of 3,500 parachutists.
First of all, Jenny, what's it like having this testimony from your father about what happened to him as a boy? How's that fired you up, if you like?
I think it's wonderful to kind of, it makes history come alive, really. Amazing to think that we've been part of a very small part of history, you know, and what happened in this landscape around here.
So tell us about your Big Drop circular walk.
Well, I realised that it was going to be 80 years since the D-Day landings, and knowing all these wonderful memories that my dad's got, plus the fact that we've got a lot of black and white photographs and video footage of the events, I wanted to find a way of telling people about it. So we had some funding from the North Wessex Downs National Landscape, and what we've done is we've put together four display boards and we've put them around and created a circular walk around the farm and around the area where the parachutes all dropped. And so the idea is that people will come out, they can walk around and they can see photographs taken from the exact position the photographs were taken and what that looks like now.
So we've got a leaflet here. How can people get hold of the leaflet and therefore take part in the walk?
So the leaflet will be available sort of at RAF Welford Museum, local pubs, but also it'll be on the Boxford website, so I'm hoping people will be able to download it. It's not available yet, but hopefully on the Boxford website.
Excellent.
Village website.
And we'll link to it on Kennet Radio. I'll do a post for it. So just tell me a little bit more about it. You've got the information and so forth. What sort of things are on the boards?
So for each board is positioned different points around the whole big area where the parachutes were dropped. And on each board there's photographs taken from that position. So there's pictures of Churchill and Eisenhower arriving, them inspecting all the troops, inspecting all the weapons and the gliders, and going and talking to all the troops. And then there's also QR codes on the display board, so that if you've got your phone with you, you can then access some of the black and white footage. There's newsreel coverage and things like that. It shows Churchill and Eisenhower arriving, all the parachutes dropping, the parachutes getting up and putting their weapons together, things like that.
So people can see the videos online by using the QR codes.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So it really brings it to life. Is most of this accessible presumably from the main roads, so you can drive up here and park or something? Is that how does it work?
There's not much parking available on the actual walk, so the best place is to park are either in the village of Boxford or the village of Leckhamstead or by the Crab and Boar pub, or you could park under the motorway bridge on the bottom road between the road between Boxford and Leckhamstead. There's a motorway tunnel. You can park in there.
Right. Okay, that's brilliant. And have you got any other feelings about it? You're obviously very passionate about making people aware of this amazing piece of history that not a lot of people know about.
I hadn't made the connection between the 101st Airborne Division and Band of Brothers, the drama that was made a few years ago, and I'd never watched Band of Brothers, so we sat down and watched it, and that's all about the 101st Airborne Division, because they were based in Aldbourne, you know, not far from here, and they would have all landed here during the practice. And watching Band of Brothers, it really brings it home to you what these guys were put through. And you know, they were going to be dropped in enemy territory. They had no idea what was going to happen to them. There were huge losses, and it would have been really brings it to life. Band of Brothers does, and so that, you know, made me want to do more about it as well.
So the D-Day anniversary, I think it's very clear that we need to call it a commemoration, not a celebration.
Absolutely.
Because of the people who died.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, you look at all those troops all lined up, and you think, you know, what proportion of those came back? You know, because a lot didn't. A lot were injured or didn't come back. So it's a very poignant reminder of the reality of war.
Thank you very much for telling us about that, Jenny, and good luck. We'll put it on our website so more people can see it.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Jenny Smith, who has created a circular walk in the West Berkshire countryside to commemorate the secret 1944 exercise of the big drop of 3,500 parachutists. There are more details on our website, kennedradio.com. And my thanks once again to Alan Bayliss and Jenny Smith for talking to me and sparing the time to go to the RAF Welford Museum. And thanks also to Alan and Mick at the museum, who helped us with that interview.
From Newbury's Corn Exchange to Crookham Common, this is Kennet Radio.